Welcome to the Startup Fair. Are you an exhibitor?
Yeah, Rachel Dunn, Twinkle Cupcakes.
Right. Got your schedule and coffee token?
Yep.
Oh, and your public liability insurance?
No.
We need it for all stallholders. Contact Direct Line. Their annual public liability policy covers you at trade fairs, and they'll email right away to confirm you're covered.
So I could still set it up today?
Sure.
With an extra coffee token.
Nice try. Next, please.
Instant proof and confirmation of cover. Can your public liability insurance do that? Search Direct Line Public Liability Insurance. Valid email address required, underwritten by UK Insurance Limited.
Wednesday, February 18th, 2015. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, sports writer, coming to you from Denver, Colorado. Got a nice sunny day here in Denver. It's a little bit cool out. Really, really pretty day. Blue skies everywhere. Had some snow earlier this weekend, but we've got a nice day today. Hey, you know, we release a new podcast every Wednesday. You can listen to it. You can download it. You can share it with the sports fans that you know that are going to want to listen to it. You can subscribe to it a couple different places. You can subscribe to it on iTunes. You can download it. You can listen to it at Podomatic. You can go to thepodcastdirectory.com. You can find it there as well. If you if you haven't listened before, if you're just checking it out, we're going to give you a little bit different outlook on sports stories. We're going to be really, really heavy on sports. Going to be probably pretty heavy on sarcasm, but we're going to be really heavy on sports. If you would like to contact me, a couple different ways that you can get a hold of me and that you can reach out to me. If you got a comment, got a concern, got a some feedback, whatever it might be, you can find me a couple different places. Hit me on Twitter at DailyDose22, D-A-L-Y. Don't add in all those extra vowels. Don't need all those. Or you can find me on Facebook. If you'd like something that spices up your Facebook feed, and I know, I can't get on Facebook very much. It's one of those things. I can take Facebook in low, low doses because I hear a lot of information that I probably don't want. But if you'd like to spice up that Facebook feed, give you something, a little bit different, give you maybe some sports info, maybe some sports takes, as opposed to the nonsense that you do get a lot of times on Facebook, you can find me, cd.daily.dose. Find me on Facebook there. Today, we've got a lot of things to get to. We're going to recap the NBA All-Star Weekend. A lot of things to get to on that. We're going to talk a little bit about the NFL Combine today. Got some Major League Baseball that we're going to talk. Got to talk a little bit about the Academy Awards. The Oscar Awards are coming up on Sunday night. We're going to talk a little bit about those. And as usual, we're going to bring you a very popular segment, the Daily Dose Top 5. You don't want to miss that today. How was your Valentine's Day? How was the Valentine's Day? We talked about this last week. Valentine's Day on Saturday. Wasn't it kind of nice that it was on the weekend? Didn't it kind of seem like it helped a little bit it was on a weekend? Because there's nothing worse than when you're sitting at the office and, the skank down the hall keeps getting like 50,000 different Valentines right in front of you. Or, the guy, down two cubes down, he's sending his girl all kinds of stuff and making you look bad. Kind of nice that it was on the weekend and we didn't have to deal with that. Just so you guys know, I actually ended up getting sick over the weekend on Valentine's weekend. That's why you might hear a little more bass in the voice today than you normally do. It's not the tuning. It's not any auto tune. I was losing my voice this weekend. I know it's tough. You're sick over Valentine's weekend. Fortunately for me, Mrs. Dose is used to disappointment, so it really wasn't a big thing. So yes, I'm playing a little bit hurt today. I'm playing a little bit hurt, but I power through it. I'm not afraid. If I'm playing for Belichick, I'm probably questionable. Maybe doubtful. I might be doubtful. But, I'm good. I'm good. I power through these things. I'm not afraid. Got a lot of breaking news coming out today. It's funny because, sometimes we get past the NFL and we get past Super Bowl. But, a lot of things coming out today. Story coming out today. First off, Chicago Bears coach John Fox. He's kind of getting these opportunities to give Jay Cutler that vote of confidence and say he's our guy. John Fox today just kind of said, well, we've got to get some more information. We're still looking at all options, and we're not really sure exactly what we're going to do with the quarterback. So John Fox is not exactly endorsing Jay Cutler just yet out in Chicago. The New York Knicks have announced that they are going to shut down Carmelo Anthony for the rest of the season. And he's going to undergo surgery on that left knee that has been giving him a hard time. We're going to talk a little bit more about Carmelo and what the Knicks are doing. There was a story that came out yesterday on Outside the Lines that was a story that wasn't really a story. We had the whole New England Patriots Deflategate kind of thing They had, you know, it deflated these footballs, and the NFL is still investigating. I have some suspicions on what's going on here, but there was a story that wasn't really a story that came out yesterday that basically said there was this one team official, I guess, locker room attendant, I don't know what you call him, that tried to introduce a unapproved football into the championship game. Don't you just kind of get the feeling through this whole thing, one, that the NFL is going to kind of downplay whatever it really was? We've already seen what they did with the, you know, the Spygate tapes. They destroyed them. But they're not going to let this get out too big where it's a huge thing, because I can't have my Super Bowl champion found guilty of deflating. That doesn't work for me. So, of course, it was this rogue, you know, bizarre attendant that was coming out sneaking this ball. I don't think we're going to get much more on this. Did they deflate footballs? I don't really have too many questions. I think they absolutely did. Did it give them a huge advantage? Probably not. But they did it for some reason, or you wouldn't waste your time doing it. But this was kind of a story that wasn't really a story. If you think we're going to get much more than that out of this, you're probably going to be disappointed, because I don't think the NFL is going to let much out. Larry Fitzgerald is not going to be leaving Arizona. Apparently, he is going to receive $22 million in guaranteed money, and he has re-signed with the Arizona Cardinals. So Larry Fitzgerald is going to take a two-year deal and stay in Arizona. And the Milwaukee Bucks are getting close to a buyout with Larry Sanders that would let them, you know, kind of part ways with Sanders. Sanders has, you know, almost half of his $33 million contract left on that deal, and they want to buy him out and move him and get rid of him. You know, Milwaukee, bizarrely, strangely, can't believe we're saying this, is not that bad. I mean, they're right in the thick of the playoff race in the East, sitting at 30-23. It's really, really weird. Who would have thought that the Milwaukee Bucks would be doing anything like this? But the Bucks are right there. They're in the playoff race. They'd be sitting at a sixth seed in the East. I know it's the East. It doesn't really count. But the amazing part about this, as odd as that is, they're doing it without what might be their best player, with Jabari Parker out for the season. You know, we might have to talk a little bit more about Milwaukee. Let's. One more thing. We got to get to this. The Daytona 500 is on Sunday. I wouldn't want you to forget that. Don't forget that. I know we have some auto racing fans out there. If you're out there, Daytona 500 going to be on Sunday. If you like to watch some cars, you know, cruise around in circles, you better get on that. One quick way to do this, and I'm about efficiency. I'm about speed. If you don't feel like watching the entire thing, if you don't feel like watching it from beginning to end, because between the pre-race and the introductions and then the race and then the fireworks and then the concert and then the carnival, and they have a lot of stuff going on. If you don't feel like sitting there for the full 7 hours, handful of Skittles, throw them in the toilet, flush it, pick one to win, same. Let's jump into the stuff we've got going this week. We've got the NBA All-Star Weekend. Did you watch any of the NBA All-Star Weekend coming out of New York City? They kind of wanted, I felt like New York, like maybe the Knicks even, were kind of trying to showcase, here's what we have. Here's what we have to offer. If you're thinking about signing as a free agent next year when we have some money, take a look at what we have to offer. And they actually juggled the events back and forth between Madison Square Garden and Barclays Center. You know, it's kind of different. I heard, for one thing, it was freezing cold back there, which never helps. You know it's going to be cold in New York. That's just how things are. But I heard it was kind of tough logistically to shuffle those back and forth. I don't know why they wanted to do that, but they did. Skills challenge, Patrick Beverley wins. I don't know who can throw a bounce pass into a hole or something. Three-point contest was actually pretty good, and I told you I thought it was going to be good. Initial rounds, you saw a display of really good shooting. Wes Matthews shot it well. J.J. Redick shot it pretty well. James Harden did not. Kyrie Irving shot it really well. Steph Curry was great. Klay Thompson was very good early. Kyle Korver looked good. Marco Bellinelli was okay. And then Curry ends up beating Thompson. It was an entertaining contest, though, and Steph Curry looked like he looked like the guy that cared about winning. He said he was going to be in that contest until he won it, and he won it. He looked like he cared, and as a result, he won. The dunk contest, a couple issues with it. First off, the average fan didn't know a single player in it. Mason Plumlee, Victor Oladipo, Zach LaVine, and Giannis Antetokounmpo. I think that's Greek for can't get a dunk down. The problems that we had with the format in the past where they made it teams and then you had all this time and you had 50 dunks, I like that they kind of cleaned it up. You had three dunks, and if you didn't get it down in three dunks, then you were done. That was it. Here's a couple of the problems that I did have with it. First off, I have a little bit of problem with the announcers. We had Kenny Smith and Reggie Miller on there trying to convince me that these dunks are a lot better than they are. You're not going to convince me that Oladipo turning himself halfway around before he ever gets to the basket just did this 360 dunk. It wasn't. I mean, he was turned the wrong way by the time he got to the basket. You're not going to convince me that we just saw the greatest dunk since Vince Carter when Zach LaVine gets it down. I guess you can try. I guess that's your job, is to try to hype it up. But it was okay. Here's the other problem that I had, though, is why, if you miss all three of your dunks and you don't get a single dunk, so you rate it, you rank them 1 to 10. You get a score 1 through 10. But the lowest score you can get is a 30. So why do we have numbers 1 through 5 if the lowest you can get? I mean, shouldn't we just change the number scale? Okay, you can only give them, you have six judges, we can only give you a 5 through 10. Okay, well, let's eliminate 1 through 4 then, because we don't need those numbers on the sheets. Because no one's, I saw Mason Plumlee go out and try a couple dunks, and I was convinced he should have got a 2 or a 3. Nobody gave him a 2 or 3, he still got sixes all the way around. So, I'm having a hard time understanding the scoring. And you know what the problem is with the dunk contest? And I don't want to be that guy of hey, back in my day, the dunk contest was so much better. Granted, it was. The problem is we don't have very good players in it, and they're not very creative when they do get in it. You have, like, two dunks. That's all we have anymore. A teammate goes out and lobs it up for you, or else you go up and try to go through your legs behind your back. Those are the only two dunks that we really see anymore. The problem that we have, honestly, with the dunk contest is every single night when you go to the arena, we see the mascot in, like, the gorilla suit do a better dunk than you just did. I know it's off of a trampoline, but it's off of a trampoline through his legs. He does a flip and goes through a hoop of fire and then dunks it. That's better than anything Zach LaVine's going to do. And so some of it is the fact that we're jaded to the whole process, because we look at it and say, dude, I just saw a guy in, like, a cougar suit do better than this. And I heard Julius Erving mention that and say, you know, we see the mascots do so much crazy dunks that it kind of makes us a little bit jaded to all this. Speaking of Doc, and I don't know if you watched the dunk contest. If you didn't, they have the judges, and it's these former players, you know, Bernard King and all these former players. The last judge is Julius Erving, is Doc. Dr. J is the very last judge. I grew up, as a young kid, we had ABA here in Denver early on. And of course, you know, as a Denver guy, I'm a Denver guy. I cheer for the Nuggets. That's my team. I know they're horrible. That's just how it is. But in, like, the late 70s, early 80s, Dr. J was the biggest thing in the world and, like, the coolest dude on the planet. And I started watching those 76ers teams because of Doc. Doc was the coolest guy. And you had those great teams, Maurice Cheeks, Andrew Toney, Moses Malone, Bobby Jones. You had those amazing 76ers teams. So don't get me wrong. I am a huge Dr. J fan. Did you see his judging on the dunk contest? I don't know if he was drunk. I don't know if he was just looking at these guys going, you're not as good as me. I couldn't figure out. Like, none of the cards he held up made any sense. There would be a guy that would go up and look horrible, and he's flashing nines. And then there would be a guy up that you're like, oh, well, yeah, I guess that was actually pretty good. And he'd give him, like, a 7. I couldn't figure out what Doc was doing. Doc, I love you. What? I don't know what was going on. The game itself, the actual All-Star game itself on Sunday, and don't get me wrong, the game itself is the worst part of All-Star weekend. The best part of NBA All-Star Weekend is Saturday. Sunday is kind of the big letdown, because the game itself is always horrible. And this year was no different. Terrible as usual. It actually got lower ratings than Saturday Night Live's 40-year anniversary, which we probably should talk about at least a little bit. You know, the best part in the 40-year anniversary, and I was kind of doing the flip back and forth thing, but the best part in the 40-year anniversary is they were actually showing, you know, kind of a little highlight reel of SNL contributors who are no longer with us. And they actually show John Lovitz, who is still with us, as one. That was good. The weird part to me about the whole SNL thing is you bring out Eddie Murphy, you have this huge buildup. Chris Rock does this huge talk about Eddie Murphy changed the game, and here he is. And Eddie kind of went up and just said, "Thank you, good night," and walked off. We didn't get anything from Eddie. Come on, Ed, give us something. He's probably the biggest game changer in the history of that show, and he walked up there and just said thank you and left. Can you give me some James Brown? Can you give me some buckwheat? Can you give me something? Give me something. Come on, Ed. You're better than that. Anyways, I understand why SNL got better ratings than the All-Star Game, because the All-Star Game is not very good. Granted, All-Star Game defense is actually funnier to watch than SNL. But the West beat the East 163 to 158. Russell Westbrook gets the MVP. He had 41 points. I think it was the second highest point total by a single player in a game. Did it on 28 shots, though. Did it on 28 shots. You put up 28 shots in an All-Star Game? Kobe thinks you might have shot too much. Just maybe pass off just a little bit. And speaking of Carmelo in the All-Star game, you had this feeling like the All-Stars and the teammates were like, okay, let's get Melo going. It's his building. We're at Madison Square Garden. He's had the tough year. It sounds like he's going to shut it down as soon as this game's over. Let's get him going. He puts up 20 shots of his own. The problem is he only hits six of them. Finishes with 14 points. Wasn't it just completely fitting for the Knicks? I mean, wasn't that exactly how this season should go? You try to do everything for the Knicks, and Melo just can't hit anything. And now, you know, they're going to shut him down. Here's my question. How can we tell if they shut him down? Is it really going to be that different? I mean, 6 of 20? I can't really tell if you're shut down or not. It almost seems like you've been shut down since the season started. Doesn't seem like you've done too much. One bit of news is the Knicks did manage to get that buyout of Amari Stoudemire, which will free up some money for them in the future. And then Amari went and signed with Dallas. You know, Dallas has a lot of pieces they're trying to put together here. This is either going to work and they're going to get really good about playoff time, or this is going to be a huge disaster and everybody's going to end up splitting and going their separate ways when this is all done. You know, second half of the NBA season now is going to be starting up. Now, you know, they've got the big long break and the second half of the NBA. Here's the thing to think about. The thing that's kind of interesting to me. The top four teams in the league right now on the East and on the West are Golden State and Memphis, and then Atlanta and Toronto. Does anyone really think any of those four teams are going to make it into the finals? I'll guarantee this. NBC is hoping none of those four teams make it. I can't imagine what NBC is thinking. Can you imagine if it was like Toronto versus Memphis in the finals? Not going to be exactly what they wanted. Not exactly what NBC is hoping for. They are hoping for you know, big markets. I guess maybe they'd be okay with Golden State. Maybe Cleveland, just to bring out all the people that want to see, you know, LeBron and that kind of thing. But I can't imagine they're going to be thrilled if Memphis and like Atlanta, a team that can barely hold its own in its own city, get into the finals. Going to be interesting to see. Bill Walton made some headlines this week and probably hurt the marijuana legalization advocates that are out there, because he's done some things in his time. Let's just say that. But he was broadcasting a game for the Pac-12, and he stated during his broadcast that Michael Jordan was basically average. Average in regards to size, strength, speed, and jumping ability. He's average. Really? He also said that Kareem is the greatest player of all time, and that Michael probably isn't even in the top three. Not in the top three. Oh, Bill Walton, he has done some things in his time. Like I said, Probably burned a few brain cells making his way through life. Because that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. If you're going to sit there and drop, Michael Jordan was basically just an average player. Really? Are you sure? Because I saw him take off from the free throw line. Are you positive? I saw him take a franchise that was dog meat every single year. It would be the equivalent of taking the Detroit Lions to the Super Bowl and winning 6 Super Bowls with him. I saw him do that. I'm not sure he's average. I'm actually okay with him saying Kareem is the greatest player of all time. I don't have a huge problem with that. I disagree with it, but I don't have a huge problem with that. I get it. I think Kareem is one of the greatest players of all time, and I think he probably is very, very underrated, especially among the younger fans. You didn't see what Kareem did. I get it. Not in the top three? Not in the top three? I don't know who you're going to put above him. Bill, put the pipe down. It's time. Hey, the trade deadline is tomorrow. And there are a few players that could move. And I know, it's weird because some years, like it seemed like last year at the trade deadline, we were like, man, there's a lot of moves that could go down. There's a lot of things that could happen. There's a lot. And then nothing really happened. And this year, it's kind of quiet. Like this year, we're looking at it and we're saying, I don't know if much is going to happen. These are the years that stuff does happen. These are the years that we actually do get the big moves. A couple players that could move, I want you to think about. Brook Lopez, the Nets seem to be shopping him. They actually tried to make a deal with Denver to ship him out here. Obviously, Goran Dragic, he wants to get out of Phoenix. Phoenix wants to get rid of him. There's a number of players that are interested in Dragic. Keep an eye on him. Reggie Jackson. Any chance that Oklahoma City would be looking to get rid of him? Toronto. Any chance Toronto would be looking to deal Terrence Ross? Terrence Ross kind of strikes me as one of those guys that they are looking at going, I don't know if he's as good as we thought he was. Like, we thought he was good like last year, 2 years ago, but I don't know if he's really that good. The Nuggets, Denver Nuggets, honestly, I think everybody's on the table for them. I've heard rumors Wilson Chandler, Portland's very interested in him. I think Ty Lawson's on the table. I think Kenneth Faried is actually on the table, too. I don't think there's anybody untouchable in this franchise right now. Kenneth Faried, I just want you to think about this. Could he be a guy that comes to your team and in the playoffs is coming off the bench and getting clutch rebounds and clutch defensive stops? I'm just throwing out there. And he's not great defensively. I understand that. He doesn't have a ton of moves offensively. I get that. But could he be that guy on a team that is stacked? I don't know. Here's another one to think about. You know, George Karl hired in Sacramento. You know, he's butted heads with some of his superstars in the past. Any chance they would try to ship Boogie Cousins out of there? I don't know. I know that Washington would love to have him. And I know that George Karl really, really likes Andre Miller. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. Ray Allen. Is Ray Allen going to sign somewhere? Is Ray Allen going to come on and pick a team and say, okay, I'm going to ride with this one? Would we notice if he did? Remember, last year with the Heat, he really didn't do anything. I mean, we kind of kept waiting for him to get going like he had the year before, but he really didn't do anything. Couple things to keep an eye on. Tomorrow could be a very, very interesting day on the NBA front. NFL, the NFL Combine starts on Friday. It goes Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. And, you know, if you're not familiar with the NBA Combine, it's a series of tests, a series of events that they put these, you know, players that are coming out of college, getting ready for the NFL. And if you don't know the history of this, this actually goes back to olden days Denver Broncos a little bit. Back in the 80s, you know, it used to be you just kind of picked your guy, you saw him on film, you watched his games in college, and then you said, okay, yeah, we like him, we're going to pick him. You had some of these players that were getting picked, and I know it happened here in Denver, where Denver took a nose tackle, Ted Gregory, who was listed at like 6'3", 275. He shows up, he's like 5'9", and like 225. So it's gotten to a point where now we're gonna measure you, we're going to make sure everything measures out right, we're going to check and make sure you really run as fast as you say you do, you're not overweight, you're not, something broke on you, we're going to check you physically. But the problem that I have with the NFL Combine is that they end up testing you for things I don't care about. I've got news for you. I don't care how high my quarterback jumps. I don't care. I don't care if my defensive lineman can run a 40-yard dash. I don't care. I get these are the tests that we've done forever and ever and ever, and so that's just what we do every year. But I don't care. If my defensive lineman is running 40 yards, I've got bigger problems. I've got huge problems, and that's not one of them. I don't care about some of the – I mean, we have, you know, our wide receivers swimming and our linebackers doing a decathlon. I don't care about a lot of that stuff. It is, I guess, made for TV viewing if you want to watch it on the NFL Network or whatever, but I don't care. You know what I want to see? I want to check the measurables, make sure you measure out right, make sure you're not saying you're 6'3 and you're really 5'7. I get that. I want to talk to you, and I want to see how bad you want to be a player. I want to see how motivated you are, or if you're going to say, yeah, you know, I'm pretty content. I want to come in and just try to get it. No, I want to know that you want to be the best. That's all I care about. The other stuff, yeah, I guess, well, yeah, run around, see the underwear Olympics, we like to call the NFL Combine. You know, Peyton Manning, still talking with the Broncos. We don't have a deal quite done yet as far as it's been announced completely that he's coming back. Are they trying to renegotiate him? That's my guess. My guess is that they're saying, hey, we want you back. You say you want to come back. How about giving us a little extra money to work with so we can get you a couple more players? That's my guess. I don't know that. My other thing that I at least have some concerns about is, are they trying to figure out exactly how to mold that Gary Kubiak zone blocking play action offense to fit Peyton Manning and his skill set? And I don't know exactly how they do that, because Peyton Manning is not the fake handoff, use his legs to roll to the right. That's not him. That's not. So maybe they're trying to figure some of these things out. I don't know. I have to think. He's set to make $19 million. I have to think they're saying, can you at least give us a couple million of those dollars and try to get you some more help? I have to think that's where this is at a little bit. What does the NFL do with some of the issues they've had in the offseason? Because now you have Adrian Peterson. He sat out the full season. You have Ray Rice sat out the full season. You have Greg Hardy, who was also in that situation. And like with Greg Hardy, all those charges were dropped. Now what do you do? Are they just reinstated? What about their contracts? Is everything just set, or did they have to go sign with new teams? The NFL is going to have some things they're going to have to figure out here in this offseason. Are you just reinstated, full and clear? Everything's fine? Are you back on your team? Do those teams want you back? Are you a free agent? Do you void those contracts? I don't know how that works. I don't know how that works, but it's going to be interesting to see. We've got a little more to talk about the NFL Combine coming up here in a little bit. Let's jump to college basketball. I want to talk just a little bit of college basketball. There is some talk of changing the college basketball shot clock from 35 seconds in men's college basketball. Because you have these long possessions, you have the low scores, you have the coaches that are micromanaging every single possession, and you'll see it. You'll see some of these teams where they come down, they run a set, they don't get the look they want. Coach, pull it back out. Let's run another set. Run this set. Don't get the look we want. Nope, pull it out, run another set. Okay, 35 seconds. All right, let's run this set, and we finally take a shot. Shots are way, way, way down. And you're seeing a lot of these teams really struggle offensively, and I think they're going to look at changing the shot clock. But here's just something to think about. College men's basketball, 35-second shot clock, okay? 35 seconds. The NBA is at 24 seconds. The WNBA is at 24 seconds. Canadian universities are at 24 seconds. FIBA is at 24 seconds. College women's basketball is at 30 seconds. Water polo is at 30 seconds. Are you kidding me? And we have men's college hoops at 35 seconds? This needs to drop down to a minimum of 30, maybe 28. How is it taking this long to move? The shot clock needs to change, and it needs to change sooner rather than later. Water polo is less. You have to swim the length of the court. I don't understand. And I don't know how they get those horses in the pool. Kentucky wins again last night to go to 26-0. Hey, Kentucky should win the whole thing. let's be real clear. Kentucky is the favorite to win it all, not even close. Shouldn't be really that competitive. They're so long. They've got so much length. They have so much height. They're so talented, and they're very, very good defensively. I know that it's easy to kind of hate on John Calipari, but I got to give Calipari a lot of credit for getting these AAU kids to buy into playing defense. He embraces the one and dones, and he makes them play hard, because you know what he does? He doesn't just get, we got 2 1 and dones, we got 3 1 and dones. No, he gets like 8 or 9 1 and dones and says, if you don't play hard and you don't buy into what I'm doing, I've got another guy just like you, and I can plug him in and he can get the playing time and you can sit. So then he's got the bench to use as motivation. There's no way this team shouldn't win at all easily. But here's my concern. Here's what I'm just a little bit worried about. The SEC is really bad. Southeastern Conference hoops this year is not what it has been in the past, and I worried it's going to hurt Kentucky. Here are the best teams. Arkansas is your second best team in the league. Texas A&M is third. Ole Miss is fourth. And here's what I'm worried about. This is starting to feel a little bit to me like those Gonzaga teams that only have one team in their conference. And so they look great. They go through the season. They're undefeated. And they're a one seed. But in that second round game, you get by your 16. That's not an issue. But in your second round game, when you're playing that 8-9 winner, you're already playing the best team you've seen on your schedule in about 2 months. And it's going to get tougher from there. It's tougher than anyone you've seen in your league. Take a look at some of the teams you could be seeing at an 8 or a 9. You could see someone like West Virginia or Michigan State or like a San Diego State. Very talented team. And see, the media is going to start pumping this. Oh, well, it'd be good for Kentucky to get a loss, to get that loss out of the way. And then they wouldn't have that on their over their heads the whole time of carrying the undefeated season. That's not the issue. As important as that is, that's not the issue. What matters is, have you been in battles against good competition? That's what matters. I don't care if you have the loss or you don't have the loss. That's irrelevant. Have you been battle-tested, and are you tough enough where you get in with good competition, not average competition? They've been tested in tight games against LSU, against Florida, who probably isn't even going to... They're not making the dance this year. Against Georgia, who is going to, maybe get one of those lower at-large bids, but they haven't faced good competition night in, night out in the SEC, and I worry that may come back and bite them a little bit. I wouldn't be. It's not as done of a deal as it should be for as talented as they are and as much talent as they have compared to everyone else. Don't sleep on it just yet. It's not done just yet. I don't know. It'll get interesting. March Madness is always fun. As usual, the Daily Dose will get you ready for March Madness. We'll give you some picks. We'll get your bracket set up so that you can go through and you can... Hey, the biggest thing in March Madness, we all know, winning that bracket. That is the most important thing. Let's talk a little Major League Baseball. Spring training reporting dates. We already have teams... pitchers and catchers starting to show up today, except for the Rockies, who I don't think have any pitchers. But Major League Baseball said last week that they were looking at maybe expanding the strike zone a little bit. They want more offense. Of course they want more offense. NFL wants more touchdowns. NHL wants more goals. Basketball obviously looks to help the offense, looking at illegal defenses and that kind of thing. Everybody wants more offense. Soccer wants more goals or any goals or whatever. I don't know whatever they do. But Major League Baseball, they want more offense too. You know what Major League Baseball really wants? They're talking about, expanding the strike zone. You know what they really want? They want steroids back. That nothing was as good as the good old days of steroids. And I know, when it comes time for the Hall of Fame voting and all that stuff, they kind of act like that stuff never happened. They want steroids back so bad they can taste it. They would go out and buy the needles themselves if they thought it would work, because they miss the days when they were being talked about and people cared about baseball. And it hasn't happened since they took all those needles away and we stopped inflating those numbers. That's what they're really, really wishing for. They're going to talk about the strike zone and maybe doing that. I don't know if that's really going to help anything. What they really, really want is some good synthetic stuff that would get these guys juiced again and knocking the long ball back out. Because bottom line, nobody's watching. Bottom line is, in the World Series last year, when you were showing your World Series and your playoff games on like VH1 or whatever it was, nobody was watching. That's the bottom line. Speaking of stupid, Alex Rodriguez issued a public apology, basically just to the planet Earth, I guess. I don't know exactly who he was apologizing to. And the more confusing thing about it was, I can't exactly figure out what he apologized for. Like, he came out and said he was sorry and said, I'm sorry for, you know, the decisions I've made and some of those things. Well, are you admitting that you did these things? Are, you know, he said, I you know, the use of performance enhancing drugs and all that stuff. But I can't figure out for the life of me exactly what he's apologizing for. Like, I don't quite get it. Who is he apologizing to? He wrote this, I guess he wrote this out like handwritten note on like the back of a bar napkin or something. I don't know. The funny thing to me about the whole A-Rod thing is the Yankees don't want him. They have no choice because he has the $61 million contract. And I've heard people say, well, just cut him. Yeah, that sounds great, but it doesn't work in real life because we have this huge amount of money. We need him actually to play. Here is the thing. And he's got this contract, and it's loaded with incentives. There's all these incentives. If you reach these milestones, if he hits these certain marks, I am hoping so bad that he comes out and plays well and just messes everything up. What the Yankees are hoping for is that he gets hurt. That's what they're really, really wishing for. They're hoping he gets hurt. What I am hoping for is that he comes out and he plays out of his mind. Like, he found some new steroids and he is playing well. I can't wait. I think that would be just amazing if he came out and played really, really well. It would just, and I don't want him to do well. It's not about him. It's just the chaos that would ensue if he did actually come out and play really well. That would entertain me, if nothing else. You know, the Yankees, speaking of the Yankees, they are going to retire three more numbers. Yankees are going to retire three more numbers. They're going to retire Bernie Williams, number 51. They're going to retire Jorge Posada's number 20. And they're going to retire Andy Pettit's number 46. Throughout the season this year, different dates throughout the year, they're going to do the ceremony and raise... First off, retiring numbers is so stupid. It's so dumb. I get that you have this, you know, we want to retire the number and we want to show, but to say that no other player can ever wear this number ever in the history, never, no one ever again is going to wear this number. It's so dumb. It's stupid. If you want to retire their specific jersey and hang it up, I get it. I understand. Here in Denver, we've got, you know, the greatest player in the history of probably Colorado athletics, John Elway. Okay, number 7, it goes up and it gets hung up. That doesn't mean no one can ever wear it again. I'm not a guy that is for the retiring of numbers. I don't like it. I think it's dumb. And I'm going to tell you why. Because when they retire Elway's number, then there's people that, you know, because the Broncos have a few numbers retired. They had number 18. Because their first quarterback ever, Frank Chipuka, wore 18. He wasn't very good, but they retired it. But then they said, well, we'll let Peyton Manning wear it. That's okay. They have 44 retired for Floyd Little. I get it. You know, he was the first player that really came to Denver and that kind of thing. I understand. But I can't retire. There's people that say, well, retire Terrell Davis's, retire Randy Gratishar's, retire Steve Atwater's, retire. I can't retire everybody. I can't retire everybody. Let's look at the Yankees. Here are the Yankees that they have retired so far, and you might not realize how many they have retired. Number 1, Billy Martin. Number 2 is going to be Derek Jeter. That is going to be retired. There is no question about that. That will be retired. Number 3, Babe Ruth. Number 4, Lou Gehrig. Number 5, Joe DiMaggio. Number 6, Joe Torre. Number 7, Mickey Mantle. Number 8, I don't know how this exactly works, but they have this retired for both Yogi Berra and for Bill Dickey. Number 9, Roger Maris. Number 10, Phil Rizzuto. 15, Thurman Munson. 16, Whitey Ford, 23, Don Mattingly, 32, Elston Howard, 37, Casey Stengel, 42, they did for Mariano Rivera, but we also have the league-wide 42 for Jackie Robinson, 44, Reggie Jackson, 49, Ron Guidry. Now you have 51, you have 46, and you have 20. How many retires, how many numbers can we retire? It's just, it's idiotic. Stop with retiring of the numbers. It's so dumb. I mean, you're going to reach a point where these guys are going to be putting on letters because you've run out of numbers. Can we, enough with the retiring of the numbers. We don't have to retire every single, if you played and you were great, we get it. Look, we see your number 3 up there. It doesn't mean no one else can ever wear it again. It just means it's, we put yours up. It's hanging. It's up there. You can still wear it. I don't care if someone wants to come in and wear the number 7 here in Denver, I'm not going to be opposed to it. I don't care. That's fine. You've got to live up to it. I get that. But I don't have an issue. We don't have to. I don't want to have this new draft pick come in and he has to wear the letter H because we've already hung up all the numbers. It's so stupid. It's this it's sports fan mentality. That is just dumb. It's dumb. The Academy Awards, Sunday night in Hollywood, we are going to have the Academy Awards going. And we want to talk, because here at the Daily Dose, of course, we're not just sports. Yes, we are predominantly sports. We're going to talk sports. We can talk anything, though. We can get into entertainment. We can talk a few things. I want to talk just a few things about sports. Because this year, we have some nominations for Best Picture. Let me give you the list of and see which of these movies you saw. Did you see any of these? I think I've seen maybe one of these. American Sniper, obviously. The Navy SEAL sniper story. Birdman. I've heard Birdman is very, very good. That is a movie that I would actually see. American Sniper is one of those ones you want to see, sort of. You kind of want to see it. But it's going to be one of those ones that it's going to be rough. It's going to be rough. There are certain movies that are that way, and that's one of those. Birdman, I've heard, is really good. Michael Keaton, the washed-up actor who played a superhero and can't kind of get away from that persona. That at least looks interesting. Boyhood, filmed over 12 years about a boy growing up, and all those actors in it for the full 12 years. Grand Budapest Hotel, the hotel back in World War I and II. And the goings on there. Imitation Game, World War II, about a mathematician, cracking these different codes and that, whatever. Selma, of course, about the Martin Luther King campaign for equal rights. I guess I would see Selma. Theory of Everything, about Stephen Hawking and his wife. Might skip that one. Whiplash is one that I would actually consider seeing, about a drummer at a music conservatory trying to kind of reach his full potential and his mentor and that relationship there. I guess that's our Academy Awards for Best Picture. But looking at this from a sports perspective, because there haven't been that many sports movies that get nominated. Now, I personally am of the opinion that most of the nominations they give out and most of the awards that they have them wrong. That's just me personally. I don't think it's that hard to make the drama movies. I think it's harder to make a funny movie than it is to make a drama. I think it's harder to make a good sports movie than it would be to make some of these dramas. But that's just me. It's harder to make people laugh than it is to make them cry. That's just me. That's just my personal thing. But there's not very many sports movies that even get nominated. Let's look at some of the sports movies that actually got nominated. Back in 1931, The Champ got nominated, about this boxer, making a comeback in his life, but it lost to Grand Hotel. 1942, The Pride of the Yankees was nominated. Oddly, that was not about Alex Rodriguez. It was about Lou Gehrig. But it lost to Miss Miniver, I don't know what that is. 1961, The Hustler. Is that a sport? Paul Newman playing pool. That's not a sport. That's a game. That's a nomination about a game. That doesn't count. Lost to West Side Story. I've never seen West Side Story. I refuse to watch musicals. Breaking Away in 1979. This is about a guy who dreams of competing at some point in the Tour de France. Lost to Kramer versus Kramer. A horribly depressing movie. Raging Bull, 1980. Raging Bull, that actually, you know, I watched Raging Bull not that long ago, and it holds up pretty well. That's still a pretty good movie. Lost to Ordinary People in 1980. Field of Dreams in 1989. Field of Dreams, a classic. If you love baseball, and Hollywood usually does, you know, tend to mangle things, but if you love baseball, Field of Dreams is a great one. If you have a close relationship with a grandparent or someone like that, Field of Dreams is great. It lost to Driving Miss Daisy. Jerry Maguire, is that a sport? I guess that's a sports movie, 1996. Jerry Maguire, Tom Cruise, you know, stretched his acting limits by playing a straight man who is interested in sports. That lost to The English Patient. And then Seabiscuit in 2013 with Sarah Jessica Parker in the lead role as Seabiscuit lost to Lord of the Rings. So you've had some nominations. Now you have actually had three movies win. Three movies that actually won the Best Picture. Rocky in 1976. And Rocky was great. When Rocky came out, I realized Sylvester Stallone, if you really watch him, and if you're a fighter at all, or not, you don't even have to be a fighter. If you're an athlete at all, you can see that Sly's not necessarily athletic. Some of the ways that he takes punches and writhes around is kind of painful to watch. The thing I hate about Rocky, because, you know, Rocky, you can't win, Rocky. You know, great movie. I get it. The bad part about Rocky was that it spawned like 30 horrible Rocky movies. You had Rocky 2 and Rocky 3 and Rocky 8, and it just keeps going and going and going. But it did win in 76. It actually was one of the ones to win. Chariots of Fire. In 1981, you know, the thing about Chariots of Fire that it's more remembered for is obviously that song, the Chariots of Fire song. You know the song. You know the song. Don't act like you don't know. You know how it goes. Probably known more for the movie Vacation, when Clark Griswold and his family get to Wally World and they're running across the parking lot to this song. That's the song. That's it. And then 2004, Million Dollar Baby, you know, this mess of a girl takes up boxing and it fixes her life temporarily and then actually makes a bigger mess of it. Those three actually won. But typically, we don't get sports movies that do anything, you know, at the Academy Awards. The problem is that Hollywood tends to screw up sports because they can't just take sports and tell a great story. They have to reach in and mangle it and mess it up and make it to a point where you're like, that's not even the story. What did you do? They have to, you know, create this love interest, and they tend to just mangle things. You know, I'm thinking next week we might have to talk about some sports movies, because the sports movies that you think of, and even some of these, those aren't the best sports movies that are out there. I might have to put in some work on this and get you some real sports movies to watch, because this Hollywood just they tend to make a mess of sports. And the problem is that most of these people that are directing these movies, most of these people that they aren't athletes, and so they don't get it. They don't know what it's like. They don't understand what coaches do and what players do and how it all works. And so they try to do this cute little Hollywood thing, and they have the players dancing before they come out for the big game. It's dumb. Anyways, whatever. You know what? Let's jump forward. Let's get to our Daily Dose top five this week. Our Daily Dose top five this week is actually going to be the Daily Dose. You know, we were talking about the NFL Combine, and we were talking about, you know, some of the events that they do, and you've got the 40-yard dash, and you've got, you know, a couple of the, you know, whether or not you have the good hands, and you have rapid-fire, you know, catching and that kind of stuff, a number of different drills. You've got how high you can jump, how far you can jump, how fast you can swim. I don't know. There's like a tug-of-war. I don't know. There's a bunch of stuff that they have you do. How many times can you lift a certain weight? You know, a number of different combine events. But you might not be aware that there are some new NFL combine events this year that are just added in. And I just want to make you aware of these new combine events, because when you see them, like I said, it starts Friday, goes Friday, Saturday, Sunday. When you see these new combine events, I don't want you to be thrown off by them. So this week's Daily Dose Top 5, the new NFL combine events. And again, these might be a surprise to you. Number 5, new event for wide receivers. Wide receivers coming into the league, and this is one that hasn't been done before, try to catch a football from Johnny Manziel, which is a challenge. It's more of a challenge than you think. If you saw Cleveland down the stretch, you know that ball might go anywhere. It's tough to tell. And here's the thing you don't know. What has Johnny done before he participates? Has he had a few drinks? Has he had something else? We don't know. We don't know. Has he just finished doing a keg stand and he puts on an army helmet and gets hit with a bat before he does his shots? I don't know. But it makes it, if you can catch these footballs, you can catch anything. So, you know, one of those events that you might not have known about. Number four, this one is actually for quarterbacks. You know, coming into the league, we've got, you know, Jameis Winston. We've got Marcus Mariota coming into the league. And there's talk whether or not Winston is going to throw. There's talk, you know, whether Marcus Mariota can make the, you know, the effective reads because of the offense that he played in Oregon. New combine event this year you may not have known about. Can you throw a flat football? It's not as easy as it sounds. I know Tom Brady makes it look easy. You've got to realize he's been doing this for years. It's not that easy. Sometimes you have that ball, it doesn't have the air, it doesn't have the pressure. It's like trying to throw like a tissue into a hurricane. It doesn't go just, you know, it's not as easy as it looks. So they'll have them ball completely flat. Can you throw it? What kind of velocity can you get on that thing? Number three on our new NFL Combine events, the Ray Rice elevator drill. Slow down. It's not what you think. It's not what you think it is. The Ray Rice elevator drill is not what you think. This drill is more about vision. You know, Janae Rice said that she didn't see Ray Rice as being abusive. She didn't see that left hook either. So what the Ray Rice elevator drill is you have a group of people around you, females around you, and it's how many of them can you impair their vision with a punch to the face? Is that what you thought it was? Maybe it is what you thought it was. I don't know. But the Ray Rice elevator drill is number three on our list of new combine events. Number two on our NFL combine events that are just coming out this year is the Pete Carroll Wonderlic test. You know, they do the Wonderlic test at the combine. And the Wonderlic test, if you don't know, is this series, and it's a long test. It's this it's like the mentality test, and they ask you all these bizarre questions. Are you more of a cat person or are you more of a dog person? How would you react in this, you know, this situation? All these different things. But the Pete Carroll test is a little bit different because what it is the coach sends in a really, really stupid play. So you sitting there, say, let's just pick a random event. You're in the Super Bowl at the 1 yard line going in and you have the best running back in the game behind you. Do you A, hand off to the best running back in the NFL? B, throw a fade pass to the corner that has a low probability for an interception? Or C, throw it directly into the middle of field and take your chances because you're smarter than everyone else. It's not as easy as what it sounds like when you first roll it out there. I mean, when you first hear that question, you're like, oh, obviously, I'm picking A. Nah, not so fast. And so it's a little bit of a different way to evaluate the mentality of some of these players coming into the league today. A little bit different. I know it's a little bit of an odd look and a little bit of a change from our typical Wonderlic test, but number two on our list, the Pete Carroll Wonderlic. Number one on our list of new NFL combine events, this is a test for defensive linemen. We want to see how strong you are. We want to see the kind of leverage you have. We want to see your ability, you know, to do certain things. The number one new combine event, the Ndamukong Suh leg stomp. That tells us exactly what we need to know. Are you capable? It's almost like, remember the whack-a-mole when you were a kid and you had those all the different things popping up and you had to hit? It's kind of like that. You have legs, you've got to jump, you've got to move. Not only do you have to stomp on the leg, but you have to make it look like it was an accident or like maybe your foot was numb and you didn't even feel it. There is our top five list. Again, you never know where the Daily Dose top five is going to go. It could entertain. It could, inform. You don't know. You don't know. Keep an eye on the NFL Combine this week. Hey, next week, Got a number of things to get to next week. We'll be recapping the NFL Combine. Take a look at some of the players. Who looked good? Who didn't look good? Did any of it matter as they participated in the Underwear Olympics? We're going to start to look at NFL free agency. There are a lot of free agency stories, and I'll tell you what, this is a huge year for NFL free agencies. There are a ton of players that are going to be out there that they either need to be re-signed or that are going to be finding new places to play. Going to start looking at college basketball. That is starting to take shape a little bit more and more as we get down to, starting to funnel into, don't forget, mid-March, we have Selection Sunday. Mid-March, we start getting into that first weekend of March Madness. We'll start getting you ready for that. The NBA will get back on after the NBA All-Star break, and we'll be talking about that. We've got to talk a little bit about the NHL, and we will recap the Oscars and let you know who won the Oscars. Plus, like I said, I kind of want to talk a little bit about some of the sports movies that are out there that actually did get it right that you might not be familiar with. We might have to talk about a couple of those. Hey, just real quick, don't want to badger you too much, but I need, if you are enjoying the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, please go tell a friend, go get a coworker, go get a family member, someone else to listen to it. Don't just keep it to yourself. Get some other people out there, get it on it. Like I said last week, we are doing more to make this a bigger and better production for you, give you a little bit more each and every week. But if you can, go on Podomatic, go on the podcastdirectory.com, give us a rate, give us a good rating, give us that 5-star review, write up just something real quick. We love the podcast, keep up the work, whatever it might be. Give us that rating, give us that review. That does help us keep us in the top up and coming podcasts that are coming out. Would really, really appreciate that. As usual, have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do this show without you. Would like to thank everyone for listening. I really do appreciate it. It means a ton that you do it. I'm glad that you're enjoying the show. I've heard from a number of you. I've heard from you on Twitter. I've heard from you on Facebook, and I really do appreciate it. It means a lot. Would like to thank you guys all for listening. Hope you have a great week. I will see you all next week, everybody.